You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 100.5 FM.
Recent advances in technology are allowing companies to continue to exploit fossil fuel energy from new and unexpected places. The natural gas industry is growing rapidly throughout British Columbia, and industry and government say that the existing rules to regulate it are sufficient. However, a new study from the University of Victoria's Environmental Law Centre is raising the alarm about sour gas. Tim Thielman is a BC lawyer focused on environmental and Aboriginal issues. He was part of the research team that conducted the study, and he joins us this morning from Victoria. Hello, Tim.
Hi, James.
So, first of all, what is sour gas? How does it relate to natural gas?
Sour gas is natural gas that has a certain level of hydrogen sulfide in it. It's called sour gas because of its smell. It smells like rotten eggs. But hydrogen sulfide, which is, or H2S, it was actually a chemical weapon used in World War I. It's a chemical that's found commonly in most natural gas extracted in British Columbia, either in the gas or there's pockets of it that need to be drilled through. And it's associated with a large number of health and safety risks that we explore in the report.
So the natural gas that we use in BC may have come from sour gas, is that correct?
Well, there's sour gas in a lot of the natural gas as it's being extracted, and then that the hydrogen sulfide will be processed out of the gas before it's shipped out.
Okay, I understand. What were your reasons for conducting the study?
Well, we were contacted by the Peace Environment and Safety Trustees Society, which is a group of residents in northeast BC around the Pouce Coupe area. And they were concerned about the number of wells and gas plants and pipelines around elementary schools that their kids were going to. So what we did is, and they wanted to know what the rights were about, to keep them safe and from the health and safety risks. So we looked at the number of wells and associated natural gas development around these schools in two school districts. And we looked at some interesting health research about the impacts of environmental pollutants generally and sour gas on children. And then we looked at the existing laws in BC and how they compare to laws in other jurisdictions across North America.
So before I get to the information about the schools, are these new wells that we're talking about?
The report looks at existing and past wells, but there's currently, if the liquid natural gas plans that the Premier has in place go ahead, there could be 6,000 new wells in northeast BC in the next couple of decades. So we're looking not only at the study looks at the wells we've got now, but we're anticipating the massive increase in development that could be happening in the next few years.
And so what are the regulations about natural gas wells that may contain sour gas and their proximity to schools?
Well, currently the law allows wells to be drilled up to 100 meters away from a school or a residence, a house. And so that we found that quite concerning. And when we looked at what the wells looked like on the ground, one school in particular, Tate Elementary School, had 24 wells within 2 kilometers of that one school, and then another 7 within 2 kilometers of its playground. So there was a number of wells and pipelines that had been drilled within 2 kilometers, and that's an area where there have been documented, or that's a proximity within which there can be documented health risks just from long-term exposure to low levels of sour gas that's in the atmosphere just from the extraction process.
Those are incredible numbers. I mean, 100 meters from a school, you can have a well?
Yeah, we think it's outrageous. And one of the interesting things that's come out recently about this is that in 2010, the Minister of Energy at the time, Blair Lextrom, came out and the government issued a press release saying that they were going to increase the setbacks from 100 meters to 1 kilometer from schools and to have an additional 1 kilometer safety special management zone around schools. But for some reason, those changes never came into place. And in the meantime, there were a number of senior oil and gas bureaucrats that left the province to go and work for industry. And so that was reported by Stephen Hume recently in The Sun. And I think we're still looking for answers as to why those promised changes didn't come into place.
So I guess we're concerned about the wells that are existing near schools, but if we're talking about 6,000 more wells, then where are those wells going to be and how do they relate to schools, I guess?
That's precisely the issue. And I think it's important to understand that there's really two kinds of risks. The one is the long-term risk to health from chronic exposure. And when we looked at the research around children, that and the research shows that children are particularly vulnerable to environmental pollutants. And I thought some of this was interesting. And it showed that because children are outside more often than adults are, they're more frequently exposed to environmental pollutants because they're more active and they're often breathing harder, so they ingest chemicals more efficiently. And because their lungs are smaller, that also allows toxins, environmental pollutants to be ingested more efficiently as well. So children are particularly at risk to environmental pollutants like sour gas.
And what kind of health risks are there if they ingest that? What's the effect?
Well, there's been a lot of research that that ties sour gas exposure to a variety of health effects. They can range from respiratory illnesses to more serious health illnesses like miscarriages, birth defects. There's been cancer is also associated with not only with sour gas, but with other pollutants in natural gas extraction, like there's benzene and a number of other harmful chemicals that are released into the atmosphere during the extraction process and the flaring when they sometimes will burn off waste gas in the extraction process.
I guess there's a couple of different aspects to the risks. I mean, I guess there's just a general level of the chemicals in the atmosphere, but then there is also like an emergency, a larger leak that's threatening on a broader scale. Did your report also look at that?
We did, yeah. One of the examples actually was kind of chilling. Again, with this Tate Elementary School, there was an incident a couple of years ago where there was a pipeline bombing about 10 kilometers away, and that was close enough for them to be in the emergency response zone because exposure to large or to even small amounts of sour gas can be potentially lethal. And so they went through their emergency response procedures, but those procedures were shown to be quite inadequate. And, you know, they included things like asking teachers and students to duct tape the windows and doors shut to keep the gas out. And we thought that was just a really chilling example of how there needs to be some better baselines or requirements of what schools are entitled to, the resources schools are entitled to be able to protect themselves and children from these kinds of incidents. Because sour gas is lethal at relatively small doses if within 30 minutes even, if you're exposed to, I think, 800 parts per million.
What position has the school district taken?
Well, I haven't heard a lot from the school district. I saw one quote in the papers a couple of weeks ago where they said that they were working with the industry and we're doing the best that they can. What I understand is that a number of the parents there are concerned and they've contacted the Environmental Law Center to work with us to have this report put together. So, it's tough to say. I think a lot of people up in the Northeast, they either work in the industry or they know people that work in the industry, and I don't think they want to come out as, environmentalists or something like that. They don't want to come out against the industry per se. But I think there are real safety, health and safety concerns that it's in everybody's interest to be addressed.
What kind of recommendations would you propose?
Well, we've proposed a long list of recommendations in the report, and we do expect the government to read the report and to respond to each of them. Some of the key ones, I think, are around the setbacks, the minimum distances for wells, and we say that it should be increased from 100 meters at least to 1,500 meters. That's basically where they're at in Fort Worth, Texas, where they did a study of sour gas. They had a 1 mile setback. And we'd also like them to close up the loopholes. There's a number of loopholes and exemptions that we've documented in earlier reports as well. One of the best examples is for emergency shutoff systems. There's a requirement that all operating wells have the automatic shutoff systems if there's a leak. But there's a provision in the rules that say that that those can be exempted, that the Oil and Gas Commission can just exempt companies from those kinds of protections. And we think those kinds of loopholes need to be closed.
And I guess maybe getting something better than duct tape if there is an emergency.
Yeah, I think that schools have a right to have more resources and to know what their rights are so that they don't need to bargain against, you know, energy giants, because we don't think that they're going to come out on top when they're in those kinds of negotiations. So, you know, another one is just health. We really think that it's past time that there's automatic air quality monitoring that monitors the level of various environmental pollutants in the air, and not only for chronic exposure, but also for, you know, leaks, so that when there are leaks, there's an automatic notification to residents in the area from this system. And that's been done in places in Alberta and Dayton or the Drayton Valley in Alberta. And we think that it's time that BC did something like that too.
Well, thank you very much for talking to me this morning, Tim.
No, it's my pleasure.
I've been speaking with environmental lawyer Tim Thielman. He was talking about a report released by the University of Victoria's Environmental Law Centre on the effects of sour gas on children in northern BC, and he was speaking with me this morning from Victoria.